I'm Jackie Vetrano from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.
And I'm Logan Bishop from Belmont University. You're listening to Higher Ed Social, part of the Connect EDU network.
Science podcast, but also that sounds great.
Yeah, I think you should just say this is our hashtag Logan moment of like the biology moment.
Logan teaches science. I guess we could probably input like a little break in the middle of the show, like just random science right. Break. Logan, like
that's exactly what needs to happen.
Global warming from Logan. We did like a volcano situation, I think, and then like tectonic plates came up or something like that, or like fault lines came up one time.
Oh,
there's
my God.
There's been a lot.
Hi.
Logan on.
I am here.
He's connected. He said he had to find his headphones.
I'm here.
In the works.
Can
I
you
apparently
hear me?
Accidentally didn't tell him about this.
Oh, exciting here I am.
Hi, Logan.
Did you hear us talking about your science knowledge?
Yeah, I got it all in recorded.
Yes. All right, so we're going to open this up then with Logan talking about sea levels.
Yeah.
Well, that's what
knowledge.
I was going to study was coastal ecology, so.
Was it?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Wow. So tell us some fun facts about it.
It's been a few years. I can't just, like, spit it out.
Yes, you can. Science on demand.
Really, it was going to be the grad school part. I had the oceanography, geology, and biology part down. But... really, it was going to be the grad school research that was going to dive me into it, because that's not exactly something that you learn in a course.
Just,
unless you're like on the coast, not, you know, Middle Tennessee.
Well, if you ever want to come do your grad school, UMass Boston's on the coast.
Well, it's been a few years. I've kind of fallen into this whole digital marketing thing, but, you know.
And you like it.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It has its moments.
It does. Like all jobs, I think.
Yeah.
That's a good way to phrase it.
Where are you from?
I am from Mississippi.
That's what I thought.
I'm currently at UMass Boston.
Okay. I was about to say, It's not a Boston accent.
No, you won't hear that out of me.
Yeah, I was just detecting it in my head. I was like, she's from Boston, yet that's a really Southern accent.
Yeah.
Just like Jackie, she's in North Carolina, but she's definitely not from North Carolina.
No. I apparently have a Buffalo accent that I learned is a thing. I don't believe it's a thing, but apparently it's a thing.
It's not as strong as your dad and your mom, but you definitely have one.
I don't know what it is. Like, I don't know what a... I don't know what a Buffalo accent is.
It's what so. You're talking right now.
But what it's, do I... What does it sound... I don't get it.
It sounds like a person from Buffalo.
Not including really... enough y'all and love.
I
know?
Will say I... When I came down here and started saying y'all, I realized how nice the word is.
It's a good word.
Yeah.
It was the word I was definitely afraid of the word. I was very afraid of, like, oh, if I move to North Carolina, I'm going to start saying y'all, and then that's the end of it. But I started saying y'all, and I'm not mad about it, so.
I have not started saying you guys or
see, you guys is the thing. Yeah, you guys is Northern.
I haven't. Or the ka, I can't.
Oh, it, no, just, that's, like, I don't think that you'll
painful.
Ever pick up.
It hurts. Yeah, I don't know. But
you might end up saying
fact,
pocketbook. That's one instead of purse. There's pocketbook.
I don't even carry a purse anymore. Like commuting, it's just easier to go with a backpack. But, yeah, I can't. The fun fact is that Marky Mark's up here, producing a movie, so he's actually in the town that UMass Boston's in, which is Dorchester, which is where he grew up. And, like, traffic was really bad around the school today because of...
Is it Dorchester or Dorchester?
I've heard it either way.
I've never known which way to call it.
I think more up here...
It's like, is it Worcester or Worcester?
Oh, it's Worcester.
Or is it Worcester?
Yeah, it's Worcester. There's several of them that when I used to commute on the commuter rail up here, the conductors would laugh at me because I'd be Haverhill is spelled out like Haverhill. And mm-hmm. So I'd be like, is this the Haverhill line? And they're like, it's Haverhill, lady, get on. Yes. And there's quite a few where, oh, Peabody. And in the South, it's Peabody.
It's Peabody. So, yeah.
Yeah.
The Peabody so, School of Business here in Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Sorry.
There's a lot of really mean looks that you get if you say that up here. So.
Well, you know, that's
the
what
GPS
it is.
Says it right. So it's Peabody.
It is Peabody. Like, I mean, we also have the Peabody Hotel over in Memphis.
Right.
I mean, there's all kinds of correct ways to say things that Northerners say wrong all the time. But, you know, I live in Nashville, of course, where, like, it is the where all the Californians and New Yorkers come to
try and make a break,
try and make the music, make it in the music industry, I guess. And you know, there's so many different accents here that everybody just kind of loses their accent.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny because, you know, over the years here on the show, Jackie always tells me that I have a definite Southern accent. Yet when you compare me to people here, I am very much not. So
I would like our Twitter follower friends to weigh in on this. So you can tweet us at HES podcast. Yes or no, does Logan have a Southern accent?
I've been told I have kind of closer to a Midwestern accent, except when I drink. Which I don't drink that much, so it doesn't come out that much. Not usually. But anyway, I think we should probably start with the show since I have been recording for a little while. And why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. I grew up in Starkville, Mississippi, where my dad is the Baptist Student Union minister on campus. And my mother works on campus. She was a dietitian. So I grew up obviously very involved on campus even before I was on campus. So I went to MSU and graduated in communications and public relations. And so I was a part of campus life through doing many activities, but one of those was an RA. And I did that for 2 years where I lived in Sesam's res hall with 26 other freshman girls. And we had a blast and made it the best that it could be. And then I got married. I graduated and got married. And so I've moved around quite a bit. I was telling Jackie, I've lived in Ohio and Tennessee and Florida, and now here in Massachusetts in Boston, where I am currently the marketing and communications coordinator for enrollment management. And so I do a lot of the marketing pieces, direct mail and email communications and website revision for undergrad and financial aid and merit scholarships and veteran affairs. And we have a one-stop where you can go and get help with registrar or the bursar's office or financial aid. And so we do some of the marketing for that office as well.
Wow. I know exactly how that feels. I've done that before. Yeah. That's what I did before I did this.
Really?
Yeah.
Where did you do that?
At Belmont, where I am now.
Oh, that's awesome.
I was, I didn't have as clear as a job title, I guess, but, yeah, I, I did enrollment marketing. I worked in enrollment services. Did a lot of stuff with email, less with the direct mail stuff, but a lot of the electronic things. That's kind of what I did. And I still kind of help out quite a bit, being that we do a lot of stuff with enrollment and admissions and stuff. So, yeah, that's – I've always found it super interesting because, you know, admissions is always one of the – it's one of the more exciting, I guess, because there's a lot of stuff going on and there's, you know – there's we're in a world right now of admissions where you get to and have to try new things,
right?
And it's definitely an interesting world, and I mean that's kind of what propelled me into where I am now, is trying new things like social media, because back then social media back then in my day in the early 20 teens social media wasn't a thing, you know, and we were just coming into it, and I started the Facebook page and the Twitter account and the Facebook groups, and that's what really drove me to become kind of the digital media guy for the whole university. So that was definitely interesting and fun.
I happen to love it just because you're marketing to such a young population, and they're really the ones who are picking up on the digital stuff that you just talked about, which is like our digital ads and, like you had mentioned, social media and some of those pieces that just really help in a marketing world keep you current. And when I was in Florida, I worked for Florida Hospital, and we specifically tailored a lot of our communications to an older demographic, which, if you think about marketing to an older demographic, that's a lot of print needs. And not that we don't have that in my current role, but for all of our communications to be, or predominantly through print, it was just not very current in the world of marketing. And so here we get to do a lot of really cool things and spur the moment decisions that can, you know, if we fail, we make learning lessons, or if we succeed, it's just something that propels us forward. So it's really interesting, and it's a really fun demographic to just work with.
Yeah, that's I think that's one of the reasons why I kind of enjoy this kind of thing too, is because, you know, especially since I still get to work with admissions, and I still, like, 30 or 40% of what I do is still admissions stuff. In fact, I'm working on stuff for our preview day right now.
Oh my gosh.
And I was kind of working on that, right before the show, and I'll be working that right after the show. So yeah, we have a preview day on Saturday, and we changed the setup again, which is cool. So I have to kind of redo some of our, assets to make them work on a different kind of visual setup. So, yeah, I mean, it's fun. It works. It's never boring. but, you know, like I said, I always look at it like this. I mean, we're helping kids in this part of the cycle, you know, decide not necessarily what they're going to do with the rest of their lives, but help influence them to come to a place that will change their lives and hopefully help them find, you know, what they want to do with their life. Because, you know, I always like to tell them, except for with a few exceptions, my student worker, Ben, definitely came in as a student filmmaker, will definitely leave as a student filmmaker. it's definitely good. It's good to help. And
yeah.
You know, know that, you know, even though, I mean, you may not even meet them in person, but the stuff that you're doing is helping them make probably one of the top 3 or 4 big decisions of their lives.
Right. Right. I think it's interesting. I was telling Jackie earlier, I kind of fell into this job. I had previously worked for healthcare, and I loved it. I loved that role. What I loved about it was fulfilling, was providing a service for someone who was in need. And so if their knee was giving them issues and we were able to give them a full knee repair and they were able to get back into running marathons, or if, you know, they wanted to, I don't know, if they had a blockage in their heart and they were able to get that removed and able to get back into walking and exercising and things like that, then you're completely changing this person's life and their lifestyle. So when I moved here, you're moving to one of the most cutting edge medical worlds. So I was very interested in joining that community. However, I come from a family who works at universities. And so both of my parents work at the university. So I have seen how they are very impactful through their daily lives and through their jobs and their careers. And so this job came up and I jumped right in. But the cool aspect about this college or university, in my opinion, is just that it, they specifically have a goal of serving students who are first generation, mm-hmm. and also inner city. So many of these college students, their parents had not gone, or their family, their brothers or sisters had not gone to school. And so they're the first people to walk this walk. And so trying to kind of simplify that process for them, or walk hand in hand with them through the applications or whatever it may be, maybe it's the scholarship side of things, we really have to pay special attention to that, which is really interesting. And I appreciate that just from seeing it in the Mississippi aspect. You know, where Mississippi's not ranked first in education. So it's kind of like I'm serving people who otherwise wouldn't have a job or a career. And so I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's good.
It
makes you feel like what you're doing has a purpose, and you know,
right.
I think that's one of the best feelings that you get out of work. I think that's something that I get out of this that I don't think I could get anywhere else. And, you know, that's one thing we haven't talked about in a while on the show, I feel like, is, you know, higher ed in itself is just, it just feels like a higher calling. And it's just something that, you know, not all the money in the world. I mean, it's not a high paying job, I guess, is what I'm saying. But
right.
You do get some level of fulfillment out of it if you right. look at it the right way.
Right.
And you just look a little bit deeper below the surface of what, right. what's possible and what you can do. And, you know, and I think that's good. I think the mission of higher ed is an important one. And, yeah, it's good stuff.
You do it for the outcomes, not the income. I heard that phrase recently and was like, oh, that makes sense.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Not that I'm not paid well. I think Belmont pays me pretty well, but well enough for me to, you know, I can buy an iPhone every year, so I'll just leave it. I'm happy.
Did you get the 10?
I have the 10S, actually.
Oh, my gosh.
My hands are too small for these phones now. It's very frustrating.
Well, the 10S is the smallest of all of them. I ordered my new iPad, which is coming on Wednesday. So I'm excited. What?
Spoiled. No, I'm just kidding.
Are you into tech, Noelle?
Maybe not that much. I'm into tech, and I appreciate good products. I appreciate every upgrade that Apple does, even the ones that like fail at first and they just have to work out the kinks. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. But I am not one that has to have the newest. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a simpler life at times.
No,
okay,
you don't need
it
to have the newest. I mean,
yeah,
Logan
not everyone
does, but you
needs,
don't.
Not everyone needs to have the newest. Okay,
just
I mean,
Logan.
I just happen to like having the newest. That is
no, it's a thing. That is so true. Yeah.
Some people collect stamps. You know, some people watch football. You know?
Were you trying to imply that I collect stamps?
No,
I think
I'm
he
just
did.
Saying people spend money on things they like.
Logan,
you know?
You have to be nice to our
it's
guests.
True.
And be nice.
You
I'm just
called
saying.
Bella boring.
That is not boring.
I'm a cat lady.
I'm a
no,
cat
I'm a
person.
Cat lady.
I have more cats than both of you combined, I bet you.
That's probably true.
That's probably true. You will have one cat, Jackie, and I doubt you have four, Noelle.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
I think that I win as far as cat person.
Do you win,
look,
though?
Look, loving cats is not gender specific, okay? Let's be
I'm not
here.
Saying that. That was not what I was saying.
Oh my gosh.
But in any case,
I'm the same way. I don't need the newest. I need something right. that's functional. I like to be like aware of things, but I am never the one in line at the Apple store.
We all have the things that we love.
It's true. I'm no longer mocking you, Logan. I can't say I'm not mocking you because I definitely was mocking you, but I am done mocking you.
The moment came when I have the iPhone, I have a Mac. I don't have an iPad, but the moment came for my birthday last year and I didn't know what I wanted. And people had kept telling me about the Apple Watch. And I loved my traditional watches and I didn't want to be that connected to like a digital life. And so I was like really avoiding it for whatever reason. And I bought one for my birthday and I have not worn my traditional watches ever since, like not one day. And I convinced myself, I am going to wear my traditional watches. Like this is just going to be, you know, one in the arsenal, you know, and nope, I have not put on one of my traditional watches ever since last year.
Wow.
It's almost 12 months. So
in my defense, I have not bought a HomePod.
I don't have that either.
I did buy an Alexa Echo Dot though.
Do you like it?
Do you?
Oh, yesterday. So that you haven't used it yet.
Yeah, I mean, I have because I have three of them now. Let's see here. Alexa, turn off the lights in the bedroom.
That was a terrible
example.
And
now the lights are off in my bedroom. It's so nice.
You picked the one thing. Like, Alexa, do a thing that everyone has to be able to see to prove that this works.
Alexa, play a song.
Hey, and as I found out, like Higher Ed Social is like the one podcast that Alexa doesn't know. So I went and found a way to submit Higher Ed Social to Alexa and it should be available by the time this episode comes out. So
that's cool.
When you guys, if you guys have an Echo Dot out there, just say, Alexa, play Higher Ed Social. And she won't get confused by it.
I can't find the song Higher Ed Social.
See?
Oh, wow.
She said, I can't especially find the song Higher Ed Social. So,
that's a bummer. Wow, how fun.
That's
Alexa,
cool, though.
Turn the lights back on in the bedroom.
Please.
There we go.
I'm just kidding.
Back on.
I'm going to be, now I understand when I was maybe like, I would say like 10 years ago, I was like, wow, why don't like old people, why don't they just like do technology stuff? It's all so great and so easy. And I'm now the grumpy that's like, I'm never ever getting an Alexa. I want to turn off my own lights. I like now understand why. When I was 17, I was so confused, but now I get it.
But here's the cool thing. Like I can tell her to change the color and she'll turn the lights like whatever color I want them to be. That's the other cool thing about it. So that's nice. I have
What's the situation that you need a light color that isn't just light?
Let's see here. So Oh, I have different light settings based off of when I'm editing video, doing the podcast, playing games. It also connects to
what color is it right now for the podcast?
It is blue for the desk lights, and it is yellow for the main lights.
Wow.
It's actually higher-end social blue, which is actually kind of cool. But in any case, not that there's a brand color or anything, because, you know, whatever. But the neat thing is that, like, the lights, I can set them, like, when I'm playing a game or something, it actually changes color as to what's on my screen while I'm playing the game. So that's pretty cool. It makes it a little more immersive. So yeah. And the other cool thing is that being able to change the color. So say it's late at night and I don't want the lights to be super bright, but I want them to be on enough to like read, I can turn them more red or something like that. And then it still feels dark, but you can still read and stuff.
So would you say that the two biggest selling points for having an Alexa is turning off the lights and changing the light color?
No, it actually, this morning, I told her
to make you coffee. If she can make you coffee, I support it.
She can order you coffee. I ordered cat food on it this morning.
But you have to go get it.
No, I don't. It delivers to my door because of Amazon Prime.
No, like made coffee.
Oh.
Like a hot coffee.
No, it can't do that.
Alexa, I'm laying in bed and I'm sleepy. I would like coffee.
But it can. You can play Jeopardy on it. That was actually kind of fun.
That's not even close to coffee.
But the nice thing this morning is, you know, I told her, you know, play the daily on all the speakers. So it played it on all the Alexas. So as I'm walking around the house, like, I can listen to a podcast without having to wear headphones.
That's pretty cool.
That's nice.
But yeah, can you do that without Alexa? You just get a speaker system.
I mean, I can do it with my Apple TVs, I guess. But then it turns on all the TVs, and then I have to turn off all the TVs.
Oh, my God. That's a lot of work. I'm really struggling here. I'm really struggling with this conversation.
You're very digitally immersive. She, and I would she just answers say questions, that we're, too. We're not.
I'm overwhelmed.
Right.
Well, think of it this way. So I'm the kid that grew up on Star Trek, and I grew up on people saying, you know, sense. Computer, do this, and the computer does it. And now I have this in my house, and she does it, and she turns. I could say, Alexa, turn the lights to 50% in the bedroom. A few things she doesn't mean. Well, which one did you want? I didn't say it right. I've only had this thing for like a day, so give me some credit, but
no,
you can tell her,
good.
Like, turn that lights in the bedroom to 50% and she'll dim them down, which is cool.
Logan, I will say this. I have not wanted an Alexa, but just knowing that there's more capabilities than it being a speaker, I might be more interested in it. So you're a good salesperson for that.
I kept getting the review of like, oh, it's great for my shopping list. Like that's apparently the only thing people do with it. Right. Is make
you know how much
list.
They cost?
How much?
$29.
I was going to say 30. Yep. Okay. Yeah. It's not bad.
$29.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not like,
but
I didn't like break the bank
for
on
some
it.
Some lights though.
Right. Like you, like Logan, when you bought a $29 Alexa, you didn't buy like the lights and the music and the speakers. Like those are all separate.
The music.
Well, technically you bought the music, but like, you know what I mean? Like you bought all these like, hey, turn the lights off. Hey, make the podcast play. Those require other things.
No, they don't. That's just Alexa. She just does that. Now the lights did cost something. The lights I just wanted because they were cool. Okay. I like having blue lights, or red lights or purple lights or 18 million color lights. But the reason why I got the lights is because actually, they're all automated, so I don't actually have to really do anything. So, like, at 30 minutes before sunset, all the lights come on. And then they turn off in succession as they're supposed to. I don't even have to turn on the lights, turn off the lights when I go to bed. They just turn themselves off.
Now that's a good selling point right there. That I don't even have to go walk through the house and cut off all the lights before I go to bed.
Right. They just turn off at 11.
Yeah, that's why, because I'm always in bed and I forget, like, oh man, I didn't turn the lights off.
Yes, me too.
And the other nice thing is, when I'm not home, the lights are turning on and off as they're supposed to, as if I was
like
here.
That.
That's a big selling point from my mother, who does that.
The other cool thing is, in the morning when the lights come on, they actually come on at, they come on at like 5:40, but they turn from like,
the
5%, which is what they are, like nightlight mode, they turn up to like 40%, so that when I walk around and stuff, like, I'm not blinded by lights. The other neat thing is that it actually connects to the app on my phone, the Sleep Cycle app that I use. And only my light does it, but instead of playing an alarm, like playing music or playing an alarm sound, it actually turns on my light at dark red, and then it slowly turns golden into a brighter light, so it's like a sunrise. And let me tell you, that is the best way to wake up, because you wake up with light that is not blinding or anything. It just kind of, it's just enough to kind of wake you up. And it only plays the alarm sound if I don't wake up after 15 minutes.
So, what do you do? Have to touch it, or do you have to wake your phone up or whatever?
No, my phone just does it.
No, to say that you woke up, do you have to like open
your
phone?
I just pick up my phone.
Oh, that's cool.
And like swipe it. Or actually okay. I just look at it because the Face ID, but yeah. So, yeah, I look at it and then I swipe up, and then it turns everything off and tells me how well I slept that night. So
that's insane.
I'm very overwhelmed.
I might get one though, just for those. You just may have sold me on.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, just get one Hue light and put it in your like bedside, whatever, and it's. You know, the bulbs are expensive. I'll say that much. But what I did was I got them. There was a sale that Best Buy was having that if you bought different numbers of them, like in greater number, you get a bigger and bigger and bigger discount. So I ended up getting like $300 or $400 worth of lights for like $200.
Oh my gosh.
So you just have to find the right deal.
How long will that last you, those lights?
Oh, I think they're like rated at 10,000 hours, which is like 15, 20 years.
Oh my gosh.
So I'll never change a light bulb in my house while I live in this house, probably.
Or maybe considering that you got multiples of them.
Yeah, I got, they make different kinds. They have the ones that light up different colors, and then they have the ones that, are just, they call it the, I forgot, white something. But anyway, they go from the bluish white to the yellowish
to
light.
The warm. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Can you get Alexa to change your light bulbs? Can Alexa kill the bugs that have been all over my house?
She can call the whatchamacallit, the
exterminator,
that person. Yes,
the bug
people.
So I'm hearing no is what I'm hearing. Like, Alexa, I found a spider, can you kill it
long term?
She'll take care of it long term.
It is one thing, right, to have this thing and it just talk to you. It's another one for them to be sentient and to do the things that you want them to do. That's when we start getting into
Skynet. That's the thing that makes you nervous?
Yeah. That when they start getting up and doing it, that's when I might start to worry.
She just controlled the lights in your house.
Yeah, but she can't murder me.
She can she lock your doors?
She could call someone.
I haven't gone to that level. The but door she locking. Can. She can lock the doors if you have smart doors, yes.
Okay. This is reminding me of the mid-90s, I think maybe early 2000s, Disney movie called Smart House. I'm just saying. Go watch it.
Well, you know, I don't even know what movie that is.
It's called Smart House, I just told you.
Yeah, I've never heard of it. I didn't even know the idea of smart things was a thing.
Watch the movie. I forgot what year it came out. I would say maybe early 2000s.
Yeah, I just looked it up. 1999.
I was so close. Yep, Smart House. It's a real thing. It's basically Alexa. It was, what was her name? Now I'm looking it up. Whoa, it was directed by LeVar Burton. Had no idea.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a Disney Channel movie, and it was terrifying. And this is what we are.
3 out of 10.
I mean, it was a Disney Channel movie. So, like, expectations should be a little bit lower.
Okay. I think
that's pretty solid for a Disney movie.
This is also on, you have to rent it from Amazon.
You can ask Alexa for it. Hey, Alexa, rent Smart House for Logan.
Well, I'm wearing headphones, so she can't hear you.
Oh, well, that's cool. Well, I think that's a really great note to end on, is Logan and all of our listeners watching Smart House after they finish listening to this episode.
Scared for Life from Disney from 1999.
Absolutely.
All of us 90s babies are going to be freaked out.
It was, I'm having like little flashbacks to it, but it definitely involves like, you know, this shockingly, you know, Smart House. And it can control, you know, the fridge. You tell it like what temperature you want the oven at and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it starts to obviously take control. So
it all goes, Logan, goes downhill when you set, it all goes downhill when you tell it to set the oven temperature.
You never want to let it. So you can't control your oven.
No, it can't.
Well,
there's
no,
some things I prefer to do myself, you know.
Well, not just the lights.
Noelle, thank you so much for joining us on this crazy adventure of an episode this week. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. It's a blast.
I'm so glad you had fun. And listeners, we hope you had equally as much fun. Give us your feedback on your experience with Alexa or anything else. You can tweet us at HES Podcast. You can also go over to our website, which is higher-ed.social. You can get links to all the great stuff we talked about today. I think Logan will probably add his Amazon wish list to the links for the show. And you can subscribe to our show there or pretty much anywhere you get podcasts. If you do like our show, we would love to hear it. Please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps other people find the show and makes us feel good. Like I said, send us a tweet. We want to hear about your Alexa experience, weigh in on if Logan has a Southern accent or not. But if you want to be on our show and talk tech or talk anything weird, we want to meet you. So definitely shoot us a tweet.
And normal stuff. We like to talk to normal people.
And normal stuff. Too. But this stuff is better, right?
Yeah.
So you can send us a tweet. We are at HES Podcast. And of course, if you want to be on the show, just let us know. Big thank you to Emma Hawes, who is our producer for Higher Ed Social. We are also part of the Connect EDU Network, which is the first podcast network for higher education. You can visit the website connectedu.network and actually subscribe to this show as well as some other amazing shows that will be awesome no matter where you work on campus. Have a great week. Alexa, end the podcast.
Okay,